And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. It's 5 minutes past nine on this Monday, the 4th of March, 2024. How are you all keeping? I do hope you're very well as can be on this Monday morning. How was your weekend? I hope it went well for you. Weather was good, actually, wasn't it? The weather Saturday was a beautiful day. Was able to spend much of the day outside, thankfully. Yesterday, not too bad either. And apparently, towards the end of this week, the weather is going to be reasonably pleasant again. So a little bit of windy, rainy stuff in between, and hopefully next weekend, nice and dry. 086 60 25,000, that's the WhatsApp and text number for you to get involved in the conversation. Start your own, pass on information, however you want to use that number within the boundaries of the law. You can also send your voice notes to WhatsApp on 086 60 25,000. If you want to give us a call, 07491 25,000, we've the ever-present Caroline Orr, of course, producing the show, assisted ably by Shannon as well. And if you want to email, it's comments at highlandradio.com. And just an early reminder for you, if you want to watch the show, if it suits you at home on your large screen smart TV or your Fire Stick, we're on the YouTube app, Highland Radio Ireland. We're live there right now. And across your mobile devices on that app and on Facebook, Highland Hub, Highland News and Sport, and on X. Let's have a look at the newspapers. And troubling scenes emerged on social media in County Roscommon at the weekend. We're going to be talking about this a little later on to someone who was actually present at this event. Young boxers and their families from Donegal were left shocked after witnessing a brutal attack at a contest in County Roscommon at the weekend, which resulted in one man being hospitalised, having been assaulted with a machete. Raffo's Peter O'Donnell, who's been involved in the boxing community for decades, found himself at the centre of the terrifying ordeal while serving as MC at the under 14 tournament in Castlereagh on Friday night. At least three masked men abruptly stormed the boxing arena, and as I say, horrible scenes unfolded. It resulted in the contest, which was for young people, having to be suspended. I think there was two more days of competition, but we'll be speaking to someone who was at that event. And if you were yourself, please feel free to contact us, 086 60 25,000. The Derry News: clarifications being sought regarding the future management of Creggan Reservoir following recent press statements on the matter. Speaking at February's plenary meeting on Wednesday afternoon, STLP Councillor John Boyle said he was referring to an online press statement from Foyle Sinn Féin MLA Padraig Delargy in relation to Creggan Country Park. Councillor Boyle said, "I've got it in front of me here." And MLA Delargy is quoted as having said, "And this is for the benefit of officers. After several years of intensive engagement between Sinn Féin and Council, I would contend that this year of engagement between all of us, he's delighted that the two parties have now agreed the new lease arrangements." And on the story goes there. On to the Nationals now, and maybe the world is finally 30,000 women and children later waking up to the atrocities in Gaza. US Vice President Kamala Harris last night called for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza and pressed Israel to increase the flow of aid to ease inhumane conditions and a humanitarian catastrophe among the Palestinian people. Ms. Harris' comments were among the sharpest yet by a senior leader of the US government calling for Israel to alleviate the conditions in Gaza. The vice president, who was speaking at an event in Selma, Alabama, urged Hamas to accept a deal to release hostages that would kickstart a six-week ceasefire and allow more aid in. "People in Gaza are starving. The conditions are inhumane and our common humanity compels us to act," Harris said. "The Israeli government must do more to significantly increase the flow of aid." Now, the Israelis currently aren't allowing aid through via road, certainly in the amount that is required, and obviously continuing to bomb and kill innocent civilians in the process. At the moment, they're having to airdrop, and the US and others airdrop aid in. Some of it's landing in the sea, and some of it's potentially landing on people that need that aid as well. So they want to get it in through the roads, and as I say, this is the strongest language yet from a senior US rep, but still, it seems, it still feels a little bit too little too late. But anyway, on to the Irish Independent now. And Eamon Ryan wants Gardaí to put the brakes on dangerous cyclists terrorising walkers. But the Green Party leader isn't talking about the hooded scooter riders flying around city centre streets. Instead, the Transport Minister is taking on middle-class suburban cyclists running walkers off car-free greenways. The minister says cyclists need to create a culture of being respectful towards pedestrians and the law. Mr. Ryan has been challenged about the conflict between cyclists and pedestrians. The issue arose at a meeting on his pet project, the Dodder Greenway, a cycle and walking lane running through leafy suburbs in Dublin's south side. So Eamon Ryan, to some extent, turning his anger towards the cyclist, which he is one. And he's pictured cycling on a bike with no helmet, which I think is quite interesting. You're not compelled to wear one, but it perhaps would be nice to have one on to sort of show leadership. Right, on to... There's not a great deal of news in the papers today, believe it or not, the Nationals. So some of these now, from here on in, are a little bit frivolous, needless to say. Well, not this one, actually, because there was another poll out over the weekend. This one's slightly more serious. Support for Sinn Féin has dropped again and is now at its lowest level in 3 years, according to the latest opinion poll. This is in the Irish Daily Star. There's also been a rise in the public's backing for the coalition parties and the Social Democrats. The latest Ireland Thinks poll for the Sunday Independent puts Mary Lou McDonald's party on 27%, a two-point drop since February. That amounts to an eight-point fall compared to last September and the lowest level of support since April 2021. And I think the issue here perhaps is, and I say this through conversations with people off air and to some extent on air, is that it's not exactly like, you know, Sinn Féin losing 8 points and the government parties are gaining them. I think it is perhaps maybe people who aren't 100% happy with some of the government's policies, and they still remain really quite popular, the government parties, and they want to seek an alternative but aren't seeing or hearing, whether it's there or not, the alternative voice from Sinn Féin and are going elsewhere into the various choices people will have to vote in the upcoming elections. Well, the latest poll shows a plunge in support for Sinn Féin in the last 6 months when it was polling at 35%. Many analysts have put the loss of support down to the party's stance on immigration. And then, of course, there is the referendum that's coming up, and Sinn Féin have said they'd put that back to the people again, and people still remember rejecting referenda in the past if that were to be the case, and having to vote on them again and again until they passed, and people don't like that. Certainly people of a generation don't. But anyway, it'll probably become a little bit more clearer as the year wears on. This doesn't surprise me, actually. What does surprise me, 26% of you with a phone don't check it before you get out of bed. I actually almost thought this was the norm at this stage. But anyway, the Irish Daily Mail tells us that we've become so addicted to our smartphones that almost three quarters of us use them the moment we wake up, a new survey reveals. Well, I see what time it is, but anyway. Nearly the entire adult population, 96% of us, now owns a smartphone, up from 94% last year, as they're now the preferred device for browsing, shopping, websites, general searches and banking. However, the research by Deloitte found about two-thirds of adults wish they spent less time on their phones, up significantly from 51% in 2023. Would you like to use your phone less? Or is it a choice and it's part of your social fabric now? A total of 98% of 18 to 75-year-olds use their smartphone every day, with over a third doing so at mealtimes, and 74% saying they do so as soon as they wake up, compared with 59% a year ago. But I think that's just the way it is now. I think phones are just integral. I can't see anything replacing them. I can see them being adapted to, you look at them in different ways, but I just think they're like a third arm now at this stage, aren't they? But checking your phone whilst you're eating. What's going on there? Put your phone down, have a conversation, he tells himself. Are you concerned with your mobile phone usage? Any commentary on some of those figures? Let us know. 086 60 25,000. Our politicians, this is in the Sun, the politicians of this country, are no longer fit for office. But it's not what you think, you see. This is judging by attendance figures at the Dáil gym. TDs and senators made just 111 visits in total to the taxpayer-funded facility in 2023. That's the fewest since 2020 and 2021 when pandemic restrictions were in place. So 111 visits in total to the gym in 2023. Elected reps made close to 400 visits annually in a pre-COVID year. according to the new data. A total of 1,746 visits were made to the free-to-use fitness room in 2023. However, the vast majority of those sessions were made by staff at Leinster House. Only three sessions for elected reps were recorded between the start of July and the end of August, and just six visits were made in January, April and May. The Dáil gym costs €52,000 a year to run. It's mostly for staff because the TDs and senators, we're told, are not using it. And staying on the health vibe in the Irish Mirror, just two cans of fizzy drinks a week is enough to undo the benefits of any exercise on cardiovascular disease, a study warns. Now, there's going to be people that disagree with this and contest it. But researchers claim even the recommended 150 minutes of weekly activity fails to give protection. The Canadian study followed two sets of adults over 30 years. Those who had fizzy drinks more than twice a week had a higher risk of cardiovascular disease, regardless of physical activity levels. Okay, welcome back to the show. We're joined on the programme tonight by two guests. We're talking about concerns to relocate the nurse from Fáin Health Centre. That's been seen as effectively closing the service from public use. Councillor Jack Murray is on the programme with me now. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, Greg.
Right, so currently at the moment, what service is provided out of the Fáin Health Centre?
Yeah, at the minute there's a public health nurse in Fáin. She's there 7 days a week. As part of that too, there's 3 days a week, there's child development clinics, which are extremely important. That's those checks that, I think, is it 3 months or 20 weeks where the newborn children are checked to see if there's any health problems, an absolutely vital service. Now, I'm aware that it's quite difficult to ensure that all parents attend those, so it's going to be even more difficult should this plan go ahead to relocate the nurse to Buncrana. Unfortunately, they've already taken away the GP service that was there 1 day a week prior to the pandemic. So it would be an extremely retrograde step to take the nurse away as well. Now, you're talking about a huge area that's serviced by Fáin Health Centre, the whole way from Bridgend, to Burnfoot, Inch Island, Mahara Beg, Tubin, Fáin, Lisfannan are all serviced there. So in my view, this cannot go ahead. This decision needs to be reversed. I've been in contact with obviously Padraig McLaughlin TD, who's going to be raising with Minister Stephen Donnelly. Jerry McMonagall's going to be raising it through the Regional Health Forum, and I've written to various levels of the HSE management to appeal to them to see the sense of this and reverse this decision, because there is huge concern in the local community should this go ahead.
And what are people being told? Are these services going to be provided elsewhere?
It seems that the nurse is going to be relocated to Buncrana. Now, I'm not even sure if there's space for her in Buncrana. Buncrana is already extremely busy. We know, too, that the population has increased quite significantly in recent times, so it's going to stretch services further. And we talk quite often about Sláinte Care and the new plans for top-class health service to be delivered, but the entire ethos of that is to deliver health services where they're needed in the community, where they're most needed. This would fly in the face of that. To further scale back and reduce services in the local community is just unacceptable. We should be enhancing the services in Fáin Health Centre rather than scaling it back. So I'm grateful that I'm on the show today, Greg, to create more awareness on this. And I know the people will rally. The people are, it's a strong community. I know they will rally and they'll resist this at every possible way. And I hope that it doesn't go ahead. It's planned that this would take effect from the end of this month, the end of March. Hopefully we can nip this in the bud and we can maintain the services should the community stand strong.
If you were given assurances that the services currently provided at Fáin Health Centre were to be provided in Buncrana with, an assured of capacity and what have you, would that satisfy your concerns?
No, it has to be maintained in Fáin. Like, we're talking, there's so many elderly people that use that service. We can't make it further away and harder to access. Again, the child development clinics, like if you've young mothers who mightn't actually have access to a car, we shouldn't be making them travel further to get vital checks for their newborn children. It just wouldn't be acceptable. As well, the home support services would regularly collect medical supplies from the Fáin Health Centre. If that's relocated to Buncrana, that further increases their journey time, reduces them at the time that they're providing care in people's homes. So, no, it would just be a retrograde step to relocate this at all. I think it has to be maintained in Fáin.
I'm sorry if I missed it, if you mentioned it, Councillor, but Has a reason been given for this?
No, I've written, as I said, to various
levels. Okay, I did ask that question. Okay.
Management, and I'm waiting that response, but no, I haven't. And obviously, Paddy McLaughlin's raising it now with Mr. Stephen Donnelly, so we'll get that response. But I can't see any logic to it. Now, I know that the health centre does need a bit of investment and it needs a bit of a facelift and be spruced up. That should happen. We should be investing in it rather than just taking services away from it completely.
All right, let's see what Carmel Lynch joins us. Carmel, good morning to you. Let's see what Carmel's thinks
morning,
as she joins us. I beg your pardon. Right, talk to me from your perspective, Carmel, the importance of this facility, this health centre.
I just feel at the moment we have to fight for everything we need in Inch Fawn and the surrounding areas. Recently, I've been on the programme with you recently about the Irish water. And we got that done. The community came together and we had the new pipe laid from Incheon. We have to do the same with the doctor's surgery. We need to bring the doctor's surgery back and not take it away. And to be told in the beginning of March that it's closing on the end of March is ridiculous. We have to come together as a community, which we are. When, as I speak to you, this petition done up myself and Cara Boyle has been online again to do this again like we did for the water. We have to save. We have to bring back the doctor. The doctor used to be there on a Monday, Dr. Sullivan, years ago. And then when Dr. Sullivan retired, we had Dr. Brewer. He left, and then we had Dr. Rash on Thursday. You might go to the doctor's surgery at 10 o'clock in the morning. You could wait for an hour to see a doctor. But people did that because they knew they would see a doctor. Recently, I personally couldn't get a doctor's appointment for myself recently. To the point where when I rang the doctor's surgery, they said an ambulance for me to go to Letterkenny. Mm. It is, we need to keep this local services. We used to have, as we got all my children's checks growing up, that's where you went for your doctor. You know, no matter what, Greg, we knew that was there on a Monday morning or a Thursday morning. Should you wait for 40 minutes, 50 minutes to get a doctor? We didn't care. We queued. The older people queued. Some people walked from Ireland because they didn't have cars in the past. So we cannot let this service go. We have to fight as a community to keep this service. Even as for the carers, like the carers do amazing work. I recently was caring for an old man. I needed something for him. I didn't have it. So I rang the nurse and I met her at Inch Road. She gave me the stuff. I was back in the house within 10 minutes. If I had gone to Buncrana, I couldn't have done that. I'd have to tell someone to go to Buncrana, collect for me, and then bring it back to me. But the carers go on there. That's their location for everything you need for the Care Association. And the carers do so much work in the community. The nurse, when my son came out of hospital recently, he had to get some dressings done. They came here every second day. We wouldn't get that. Went to Buncrana. We have to get in a car and drive to Buncrana, get parked. It's ridiculous. So we have to, as a community, and we are going to do this. We are going to do this like we did with the Irish water. We're going to win this, Greg. And Jack, having Jack behind us and supporting us will help us. Because we need this. We can't, we cannot get a doctor's appointment in Buncrana. If you ring this morning, Buncrana, from 9 o'clock, they don't answer phones. We have to have this. We cannot lose this. Because even people as far as Matthews, he doesn't care where you come from. It's spent, it wasn't just for Fawn and Chimburch or wherever it may be. It was for anybody. People have travelled from Buncrana up to it. So we cannot lose the service. And I know with Jack's support and Paddy McLaughlin's support and whoever else going to support us on this journey, that we will win this case because we cannot lose it.
All right, Councillor Murray, looking at the building.
All the people, and then...
Yeah. No, go ahead, Carmel.
One of the local GP has said it needs revamped. Well, let's do it. Mm-hmm. Recently, they put a new security system into it. So when you drive up at night, it's lit up like all green because new security systems on it. We had a local man, Patrick Lynch, God rest him, who used to look after the centre, cut the grass and everything else. So we cannot, if it needs upgraded, let's upgrade it. Let's put the money back into what we need for a change and stop putting it everywhere else.
Yeah, Councillor Murray, just Carmel referenced it there. Looking at the building, it seems to be, I mean, it's a small sort of traditional kind of a building. I just get the impression that next they're going to talk about that the building's not fit for purpose.
Yeah, but that can be fixed. And I wouldn't dispute that the building needs investment and we should be fighting for that. But just scaling back services or shutting it completely, that's not the solution. The solution is to invest in it and continue to provide health services in the area. And look, Carmel's articulated exactly why it needs to be maintained. She's articulated the emotion that's felt in the community at these plans. Like, so hopefully the HSC will see sense and reverse this decision. And Carmel's right to highlight how the community rallied with the substandard water services that were there for years. The community bombarded the Irish Water with emails. They lobbied. Carmel herself organised a petition. And we've got the upgrade of that water supply that is needed. So just like that, I think we need to take this fight now to the HSE and get this decision reversed, because, look, it's not acceptable, I think, to anybody in the community. Nobody that I've spoken to wants to see this or think this in any way would be positive. It has to be reversed, and the nurse has to be maintained in the area.
And the services would be, what, 6 or 7, 8 kilometres? Well, it depends on where you're travelling to, but certainly from the health centre to Buncrana, it would be another 6 or 7 kilometres. Is that about right?
Yeah, and look, we're going the whole way from Bridgend here. That's a significant distance. Mm-hmm. If you don't have access to a car, Bridgend to Buncrana is a long trek, and particularly if you're an elderly person or somebody who's sick.
No, for sure. Okay, well, we'll make our inquiries as well as to the reason behind these decisions. Carmel, you talked of a petition. Is it up and running at the moment?
It will be up and running within the next hour, Greg. But what we have to say, the most important point we need to get across, if you ring Buncrana Surgery this morning, you will not get an appointment. They will say to you, ring back at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. You ring back tomorrow morning. I couldn't personally get an appointment for 3 weeks, Greg. Mm-hmm. So we cannot close the service. We have to keep this service open, because even people from Buncrana, as you said, everybody uses it. So we have to, as a whole, keep, as a community, no matter where you live, have to keep this service open, because we have Muff, which some people travel to. So we have to keep the phone open for the carers. But I mean, we need our doctor back. He's only there from 10 to 1, one day a week. So the patient is going out.
How long since the doctor visited the health centre, Carmel? Roughly, like, how long?
That old word, COVID.
Okay, right. I got COVID. That was the end of that, okay.
Do you understand? So we have to stop that. We have to think of the people. You had before you came on air, there was you had an ad, your health is your wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Was one of the kinematics. Well, your mm-hmm. health is your wealth. And to have us, to keep our health is most important. We have to have that centre open. And even to be told we have 4 weeks notice to do this, it's ridiculous. We need to do this, and we need to get the support of everybody, the carers, the doctors, the nurses, no matter who it is, needs to support us to keep that centre open. And I know Jack will do his best with it as well. And yourself, Greg, and I thank you for bringing us on the show this morning to highlight this.
I'll let you get back to organising that petition, Carmel. We'll chat again, I'm sure. Councillor Moore, you might stay where you are, if that's all right. Sarah, good morning to you.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm good, Sarah. What's your view?
Good. You know what? I just think that, as of recent, a lot of the smaller communities and villages, their facilities have been taken away from them, and they don't seem to be reinstated to the level of care that as initially in place. For example, like my 93-year-old great aunt, she would have used the dispensary, as we call it, up at Maharabeg that they're talking about closing. And that service was invaluable to her. You know, she was comfortable going there. It wasn't far from her home. There was no, you know, pre-booking or anything. You had your appointment and you just arrived and you used the service. And they built that relationship with the doctors and the nurses that were there as well. And they were comfortable going. And the history was there. You know, there was no to and fro in between doctors. And I think they're doing it across other facilities, like, you know, in Buncrana, they took away the antenatal care within the clinic in Buncrana, and they diverted all the mammies, you know, to Letterkenny. And that was a massive service as well that they pulled, and they didn't reinstate it even with the primary care centre, you know, in Buncrana. So I feel like they're doing it across the board. And, yeah, it's a loss. It's a loss to smaller communities.
Sometimes, Sarah, you feel like, well, you don't feel like, you can almost see it. It's centralising services, removing services from rural communities.
And putting massive pressure on the ones that, you know, are available, in inverted commas. They're not available, you know, because, as the lady before stated, you have to make appointments nearly weeks in advance to try and get to see someone. And for older people who have ongoing care issues, and younger people as well, you know, it's a strain on them. It's a worry on them that facility isn't there for them.
I wasn't aware that the mum still had to go to Letterkenny for the antenatal checks. That's shocking.
Yeah, there's no antenatal. Well, you know, yeah, so they used to, with my first two children, they would have, you know, done your ultrasound scans within the smaller clinic there, just across the road from the credit union in Buncrana. And then with my third child, that service wasn't there. You know, you had to go to Letterkenny for all your scans. And that, like, you know, takes you out of work. It puts you off your day. And then you're up there for not very long. You know, you're only there for maybe an hour and you're back down the road again. But like that, your whole day is disrupted. You have to go up the road. And if you're not a person that owns a car, that's also a problem because you have to organise a lift. You have to get the bus. And if you have other children, you have to organise to get them minded.
Well,
so,
given the size
like that,
of given the size and geographical spread of Inishowen and the amount of people on it, those services, I think any reasonable minded person would say that's a service that should be available to, you know, in one 100%. Location to cover the peninsula. All right, Sarah, we might inquire
don't
again.
Don't get me wrong, the midwives were great.
No, no, I get that. But
no, that's,
I know we covered the moving of those. We covered the moving, the removal of that service from Buncrana at the time. It might actually chase that up again to see if there's any intention to return it. For now, Sarah, thanks.
Yeah, because this is in Malin as well. As far
yeah,
as down
course,
as Malin,
yeah.
We'd have to travel up there.
For sure.
It's not the only service.
That's
been
a run.
Withdrawn now from Inch.
Malin to Letterkenny is a run. There's no doubt about that. All right, thanks very much, Sarah. Take care of yourself. Councillor Murray, I mean, again, you know, there is a sense that perhaps, you know, there's almost rural living tax, and that tax is that you don't get the services, or the services are going to be lost. We can see the way the way that nationally they would like the county development plan to go in terms of rural development versus urban development, and then we're seeing sort of what many see as essential services being lost to rural Ireland. So, in other words, if you want access, and people would say even if you're in Buncrana, you can't get access, but if you want access, you need to sort of live around centres of population if you want access to basic services.
Yeah, absolutely. And as I was saying there too, the Sláinte Care that we hear like promoted with such grandeur, the whole ethos of it is that care is delivered at the point where it's needed. So this flies in the face of it. Withdrawing these services from where they're needed is just the opposite of everything that we're hearing on the national media. So it's just such a retrograde step. The only nursing services left available in South Inishowen then would be Newton, Cunningham, Muff and Buncrana. So that huge swathes of geographical area and large population in the middle will have to travel a long distance to get the services that they need. And look, Sarah said there, like a 93-year-old woman, it mightn't seem like a lot for some people, but for somebody of an age like that, like increasing the journey, increasing their waiting time, that is difficult for people. Like, so I would hope, and you can hear the people that are raising up on this, they will resist it.
Well, you see, what happens is with some people is they choose not to access services, which to the detriment of their health and well-being, because they go, I'm not doing that, or I don't fancy that. You know, people can be, not all people, I don't want to sort of judge everyone the same, but you know, when things like that are, it sometimes people opt out of treatment if they have to travel too far. That's happening all the time, and it's really the untold story, really, that people are saying, I'm not doing that, and it has negative impacts on their life expectancy and their general health.
Absolutely. If you make it more difficult to people, it'll increase the likelihood that they don't go and get that care, and that could have severe consequences. And I am mindful of the child development clinics. If you've a young mother who could be under a lot of pressure for different reasons, making it more difficult to get her newborn child checked, and we can miss for their hearing aid or any kind of health problems that child may have, that would have serious lifelong consequences should that be missed. So we should be making it as easy and as available as possible for these people.
All right. Okay. Take care of yourself. Thank you very much, Councillor Jack Murray. Thank you to Carmel Lynch and also to Sarah. A caller says, so they're closing nurse services in Fawn, but they keep a gym open in the Dáil. Am I alone in thinking there's something wrong with this? Okay. Next guest on the show is Charlie Boyle. Charlie, how are you getting on? Good to have you on the program.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you very much.
Right, Charlie, you decided to, I suppose, was it scratch an itch and get off to Australia?
No. I've not been to Australia yet.
I read the first line. I always felt like I wanted to go to Australia, but you chose not to because of the journey time. So talk to me about your experience that you had recently travelling.
Oh, look, it's the experience of 49 others, and it's very simple, and you know, it's amazing that it's got the attention it's got. But just very simply, I went up to Dublin during the week, as I would often do, a bit of work, you know, always promoting the fact that we can leave West Donegal and be in Dublin in 38 minutes and another 20 minutes in the centre of town. And then on the way back, you know, a group of us on the plane, it was full, 49 people. Can't remember what now, I've lost track of days. It was some day picks last week, but the plane flew down, no problem, to Carrickfinn. But then it started circling. And look, at the communication from the pilot was absolutely outstanding. He explained that there was bad weather down below, that there had been hail showers, and explained the effect that hailstones have on a landing, and that the guys down below were doing their best to clear the runway. But then there was a lightning strike as well. And you could pick this up on social media, because when the plane comes down below a certain site, or a certain height, sorry, you can hear the social media traffic, and people were saying, oh, there was lightning, there was thunder, and there was a lightning strike at the airport which affected the lights. So there was absolutely no complaint. There was nobody moaning. You know, it circled 8 times and decided to go back to Dublin. And how could you argue with that? It was a 1,000% correct decision. Back to Dublin, and it was, again, very well handled there. We were told that there wasn't the option of another flight. There wasn't the option of a bus, because it's now 11 o'clock at night. But they would put us up in a hotel nearby, fantastic hotel. Shuttle buses were there. Back to the hotel. And again, everything is going the way that it should go. And it's, you know, there's attention, there's care, there's detail, there's all of that happening. And people are starting to bond at this stage as well. Like, there's like 49 people.
Was there any concern on the plane circling? Because the plane, it's a prop plane, isn't it? You know, a propeller plane. You know, you'd be well used to it with that short trip up and down. But a lot of people perhaps have never used that plane. They'd be used to jets and what have you. Was there any concern circling, you know, with talk of lightning strikes? I don't know if there was much disruption on the plane from turbulence perspective. Or was everyone pretty calm?
No, absolutely. Yeah, there was no turbulence whatsoever. And, you know, you could hear people down below on the ground sort of talking to each other, say, oh, they must be traumatized. We were having a ball, to be honest. You know, you were probably concerned that others were concerned. But the thing is, I suppose, and I think this is very, very relevant to the whole story, I was aware, as others would have been, there were probably 4 or 5 cancer patients on that plane, yeah, as there always is, because, you know, people need to understand the big part of the service to West Donegal or Donegal is that we should have the right to have people from our area properly treated in the best hospitals. And that happens now because of the great work of the airport, of the cancer flights through the Neath-Quadrig and Door. And everybody else that helps with charity. So I would have been really zoomed in on that probably element of it. And I could see there was neighbours of mine, friends of mine that were there. I knew they were coming from cancer. You were thinking, oh, they're going to have to go back up tonight again. But they were loving it. They were nearly praying that the plane would go back up and they would get a night in Dublin in the hotel. So way back up we went. We stayed in the hotel overnight. You know, look at the information again about the next day was good. Donegal Airport working like Trojans behind the scenes, because you must remember Aer Lingus come in at some play. They're the agents on the ground at Dublin. But Donegal Airport are remote at that stage. They're down in Donegal, but you could feel their sense of that local sort of caring coming through. And we were getting the information. So we land down for what was to be the morning flight, but that was delayed. But there was delays all over Dublin Airport. So this is not, there's no blame attached. I don't think there's any blame attached to anywhere in this story. It's one of those stories that it's just a blameless story. And again, the weather took up at Dublin Airport. There were flights being delayed. There was talk of cross ones. But, you know, we got on I don't know if you know it, Greg, but you got on a bus to go out to the small airplane for Carrickfinn. And we got on the bus there, and, you know, again, the 49 people, your first name terms at this stage, you knew what everybody done, you knew where they were coming from. And we went out, we got on the plane, and the plane went to take off, and then it pulled in, it throttled back, pulled in. And again, the pilot, brilliant, you know, explained that there was a crosswind and it was above the threshold that he could safely take off. Again, you just can't complain at that, can you? You know, and there might have been people frustrated to get home, but you can't say, actually, you know, you should have taken a chance. But he pulls in, and then he circles in the taxi position again, and he says, look, I don't know what he said technically, but I suppose in Donegal terms, is, you know, we'll have another go with us, or we'll have another crack at us, and it'd be 5 or 10 minutes time. And he did try it the second time, and it wasn't frightening. Like, he revved up, let's say he gets up to 100 miles, maybe 150 miles an hour, which isn't fast for a plane. And then you kind of realised, right, he's not going to do this. But the plane was shaking, but it wasn't shaking violently. I think everybody would have been just looking at each other saying, nah, it's not going to happen. And again, there would have been smiles. There would have been, Jesus, I wonder will we get vouchers for another night. There was, you know, a bit of banter going on about, will there be tickets for coppers thrown in here as well? And back we came. Now, at times, okay, it might have been a 10 out of 10 in terms of the service at times. And on one occasion, what happened was Aer Lingus, and they're a big concern, you know, I wouldn't be as praiseworthy or as defensive of them as I would of the other players in this. And what they do, which would very often happens with larger companies, is they sent out a 22-year-old to explain to the 49 people what was next. And they had mentioned that there would be a bus provided to take us home. And people were happy enough with that. It's always the plan B. It's not safe out there.
It's a real wild patient, I must say, Charlie.
Patience at this point
surely must be starting to wear a little thin.
It was hard to say. So, Greg, see if you were being lied to, or you weren't getting the information, or there wasn't a weather component in it. I think the patient would have been a lot worse. But the fact that, fair enough, okay, look, it's weather related. Do we want to land in an airport down Carrickfinn and the plane to land over in Rennafast with fatalities, you know, or would we rather be sitting here, you know, drinking double shot frappuccinos and having a crack, you know? So there was that part of it. You could see, there's no doubt, you could see frustration in people that had to get on with something. You know, it was a young solicitor who said to me, she needed to get back down, to get papers, to get back up. There was that element of it. But the young lad anyway was rolled out, and clumsily, in hindsight, he said, right, we can't get a bus. You guys are going to have to all sort yourselves out. Mm. Oh my God. Right. And that was that tipping point. That was that tipping point where you could see, okay, the fun's over now. You know, we've had our hotel. And it, the poor lad, I swear to God, and I must say, I was nearly one of the first to rush in and go, what are you talking about? Because you're thinking about yourself, you're thinking about the others, you're looking behind you, there's 4 or 5 wheelchairs, there's people cold. And, you know, he got it wrong, the poor lad. And I think he knew it right away. And then he went to get cover, somebody more senior. That was the part that could have been better. But I suppose in my head, somebody mentioned to me right away, just out of earshot, book McGinley's, you know, go online and book McGinley's. And that even itself, and this was the lesson for me. Here was a coach company in West Donegal that were watching their buses pass every day. Occasionally I would jump on the McGinley bus and go to Dublin, occasionally, not enough. But I would be aware of them, you know, I would maybe do work down in Cork, you might see 3 McGinley coaches outside a hotel, and you're thinking, what's happening there? So as old-fashioned and as mouthy as I am in West Donegal, I'm seeing this gem under my feet and I'm not knowing what really they do. So I go online and they think, right, I'm going to pick my battles. I'm not arguing with that poor young fella because I don't want to stay in Dublin another night. And if there's a bus home, there's a bus home. If there's not a bus home, there's other options. So a few of us booked online, and I would say within about 2 minutes, you had your ticket in front of you with a barcode. You knew what time the bus was there. I knew what time the bus was going to land in Anagra. A lot of other people have done that. We helped others who weren't maybe as good at booking online. And by the time we got out to the bus, there was about 30 of the 49 there as well. And it was very funny. Now, I wrote a bit of a thing on Facebook about it. I just love observing people. And, you know, it's nearly like the 70-30 rule. 70% of it was true. You throw in the other 30 as a bit of a crack. There would be people who challenge that and say it's the other way around. That's neither here nor there. So we got on the bus. It was nearly as if we sat all together on the bus. You know, we looked after those who with the wheelchairs, got them up. But we didn't have to, because the bus company to go over. John McGinley's crew to go over. And I'm sure, I hope I have the names right here. I think John Anthony was the driver and Emer was the crew member, you know, looking after the payment, making sure after everybody was all right. She was jumping between two buses. But, you know, one man was, you know, was made to look after 40 people who were returning. But he was doing it. There was a collaboration involved here. So Donegal Airport had informed them. McGinley's went all out to help, to step in, to help their fellow West Donegal. They might see them as competitors at times, but this was Donegal in action. Like, it was just rolled out in front of you.
I'd just gone sort of almost going back to the beginning to some extent. The reason you haven't, or one of the reasons yet you haven't made that trip to Australia is because the length of the journey puts you off. Now, I'm not sure if that falls into the 70 or 30% of your storytelling, Charlie, but be that as it may, how long was the round trip in the end?
27 hours, yeah. Okay. Yeah, 27 hours. So, and I had another deadline. I had set out to do a swim a day for mental health. And the 4th of March was that day. So I was just, waiting for this all winter, and fair play, there were others that swam in the group, but as they were down, they'd done the swim at 6 o'clock. So as they're doing the swim at 6 o'clock, we're pulling out of Dublin on a bus, and I'm thinking, will I make this before midnight? And I did. I made it a quarter to 12, and again there was another group down waiting to go into the water. But and I'm delighted that the benefactor of this has been McGinley's and also the airport, because let's not leave the airport out in this. There would have been, as there always is, and you have to allow it to happen, there would have been criticism. Like, there would have been an odd post coming in and saying, joking, the airport, what's the airport doing in there? Yeah. It also gives an opportunity to tell the story of the airport, because, you know, every negative comment, every critical comment always has an opportunity to, okay, that's your opinion, you're entitled to that with the information that you have. However, you know, if you take somebody in Dublin, now I've only found this out in the last few days, and please stop me if I'm going on too long here, Greg, but somebody in Dublin lives off what we all do in Ireland. There's a national subsidy for every citizen in Ireland for public transport. So in Dublin, it's a very, very high number. Let's call it €200, and please do not take this as given. But somebody in Dublin has as high as €200 a year as a public service subsidy, which means if somebody's travelling from Tala into town on the Lewis or on the bus, their transport is subsidised to the tune of €200 per year. Somebody living in Donegal, and again, I don't know the figure, so let me work on my 70-30 rule here. It's not a lie. I'm just giving an example. The figure is as low as maybe €60 per person living in Donegal. So the subsidy of that airport, yes, it's subsidised. It's subsidised by the European Union, so the peripheral regions of Europe are not disconnected. The other thing is, we have cancer patients. We have patients going through, you know, it could be mental health issues.
Oh, yeah.
They need
yeah.
specialist treatment. Yeah, yeah. And they have to get to the specialist hospital.
It's vital. And that's why it was so, where there was an awful lot of cancellations. Because of technical issues and what have you, why it was such a big story. Charlie, people can read your post as well on your social media. It's well worth a read. We've only been able to scratch the surface of it. You're a bit like me. You're a bit of a people watcher as well. But we do appreciate you sharing the story with us this morning. Charlie Boyle there, and you can check out his Facebook page to read more on his 27-odd hour adventure from Donegal to Dublin and back. Just to mention that Highland Radio is delighted to have teamed up with Vodafone to promote their High Digital initiative. The question is, do you want to know how you can learn online skills for everyday life? Well, Vodafone Foundation, in partnership with Alone, have created online skills training for older people. The training is available online at highdigital.ie, that's hidigital.ie, or via in-person classes in Convoy. With the right support, you don't have to be scared of technology and can embrace it. Have a listen to this morning's tip.
Here's an online safety tip brought to you by High Digital, free online skills for everyday life supported by Vodafone Foundation in partnership with Alone. When using the internet, you should be mindful of scams and frauds. Scams are when someone tries to trick you. A fraud is when someone tries to steal from you. These dangers come in many forms. Common ones include messages pretending to be from tech support requiring personal information from you, social and romance scams asking for financial aid, and grandparent scams where scammers may impersonate a loved one in distress requesting money. Scams and frauds try to exploit our personal nature of gaining through an opportunity or avoiding a loss or wanting to help others. Be aware of potential scams and frauds. If you would like to learn more about how to identify these, visit highdigital.ie or call 1800 20 30 30 for more information. Brought to you by Vodafone Foundation and Alone.
And we'll be back with more on the 9 till noon show after the news and obituary notices.